Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So I'll make this part brief because, I mean, Dick's correct. But it's also important, as I've said, to educate everybody about something that maybe they don't have a, like, they hear about but don't have a complete handle on. And I thought the New York Times guys did a great job.
Steve, we have Doug from Wellsboro on the line.
Well, that's even better. I'd rather do that. Hello, Doug. Happy New Year, Doug.
Hey, Steve. I have a question about NIL.
Okay. Didn't I give you a direct answer on the pregame show about the offensive line?
Oh, you were clear as mud, Steve. No problem.
Just want to make sure.
I counted heavily on Anthony Donka playing in the third and fourth quarter. That just topped my day. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Go ahead.
For NIL, you said about parameters, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Who's going to set these parameters? The NCAA is basically non-existent, afraid of the courts, afraid of whatever. The Big Ten and the SEC have the huge TV contracts. That benefits them to keep bringing the TV money. They don't care if people are in the stands. Look at the bowls. No one wants to eat these bowls. As long as they have the big TV contract, the NIL, things like that, collectives, the two big conferences are going to separate even more from the lower levels. Who is going to set the parameters and who's going to enforce this?
Well, okay, so who should be setting the parameters is, in my opinion, the NCAA with permission from the 130 schools that play. Okay, that's who should be. Right? I always would rather trust the business entity before I trust, with all due respect, the government entity. And the reason is, it's okay, not political. It's not political on my part, all right? It is, who knows your business better than you do? A government entity doesn't know your business like you do. So I'd rather have them do it from that position. All right. In the end, the NCAA is abdicating their position of leadership and responsibility to the government. They keep begging the government to be the ones to put parameters on this because they want to avoid collective bargaining and they want to avoid being sued. So thus they want the government to do it, and that's why you have seen so many times between Mark Ebert and now Charlie Baker, how many times they have testified before Senate and House committees, because they want them to set the parameters and have the federal government do that. In the end, that might be what happens. It's not my favorite way to do it. I'd rather have the entity itself set it, but that, you know, it just seems like it's not going to happen in that way. Because there's not the leadership or the guts to do it. They'd rather abdicate to the federal government, but at some point it has to be done by somebody.
If they abdicate to the government like that, then you're entering into the territory of National Labor Relations Board, who's an employee, who isn't, who can unionize, like Northwestern tried a few years ago. You're opening up a whole new can of worms.
You can. If you decide to go with collective bargaining, number one, they would not be employees. It would have to be stipulated there. You're not an employee. And that would have to be one of the things they stand on right away and just like walk away and go, fine, we're just going to let this go the way it's going. And we're trying to help the greater good here. Because you have to have the ability, Doug, to walk away. We're going to collectively bargain. We want them to be employees, non-negotiable. Well, fine, we're going to walk away. Fine, walk away, we'll walk away. You have to have the ability to do that, right? Okay, and say, sorry, but you're not an employee of the university. You're just not. Okay? And this is what we're laying out so that everybody can get a slice of the pie, and it's going to benefit all 125 and not just benefit primarily 10 to 15. Or in basketball, it's going to benefit all 13 and not just 3 or 4. And that's how you have to lay it out for them. But it would be how much money each school is allowed to put into an NIL fund. Okay, how do you handle the transfer portal and the freedom of movement? Right? And if you need to go through but here's the downside to it. Now let's get to your downside, which is absolutely correct. If you are unionized and it's collective bargaining, right, they also have the ability to strike.
Correct.
Right? Correct. I mean, so there are always unintended consequences with this. So that's why there's no perfect solution to it, because of the unintended consequences. And that's one. We're not going to have a college football season. Okay.
Well, it's just like you were saying. For a while now, especially the last couple of years, this is NFL light, except with the NFL, at least they have contracts. With this, it's movement at any time, you know, so.
It's movement at any time and any number you can come up with. So, in other words, I mean, I know the numbers in the NFL are gigantic. I understand that. But, like, for example, Saquon Barkley, as goes through his contract and then gets franchise tagged. All right, then he signs a one-year deal. So he has not had freedom of movement since he's entered the National Football League. Now, he got a $20 million bonus and the whole thing, and Saquon's the kind of guy, just so you know, he has never touched his football salary. He's banked it all. All the money he's used has been his advertising money.
Right, I knew that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah, I think, yeah, I know you know that, Doug. But just so people know, but not everybody's him, right? But he has never had the freedom to say, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to go play for the Baltimore Ravens, okay? Right? If he were in college, he could transfer to the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow if he wanted to.
A couple quick game questions.
Sure.
Drew Allar,
mm-hmm.
How can we do a fair evaluation of him? Is the talent around him average, not good? Why doesn't stuff translate from the practice field into games?
Well, first of all, who are the playmakers on the team? The playmakers are in the team, and this goes back to what I said in the pregame show when we were talking about keys to the game, and I said pre-scoring was the Ole Miss key to the game. And I said, for Penn State, getting the ball into the hands of your playmakers. The playmakers are the running backs and the tight ends. The wide receiver group needs to play better. That's obvious. So let's take a look at the game on Saturday. Game on Saturday, Wade was okay. Watkins was okay. Right? Lee, 83, was okay. But Harris was exceptional. Look at all the difficult catches he made in that game. You know, going up with two hands, keeping his feet in bounds, making the one-handed catch on the sideline. He made some really difficult catches. And every quarterback needs their wide receiver to make that kind of play. Prescorn made a couple of really difficult catches, including the one-handed catch on the sideline. Every quarterback needs that. Now, Drew got that from Tyler Warren, right, on that play. But then on the one late in the game when he got the ball to Keandre Lambert-Smith, I mean, no offense, Dre has to catch the ball, right? It was not a hard catch. He needs to make that catch, right? So you have to have guys that, you know, not only does he need to help them, but they need to help him. And that's a big part of it, too. Dart was really helped in that game by the fact that he helped himself with some really good throws, no question. But then he got help by those guys making tough catches when he needed it. And that's every quarterback needs that.
Okay, I don't want to take too long.
Oh, no, you take all the time you want.
Okay. The third point is these bowl games.
Do you see where I'm coming from on that? I mean, it's not like Drew had a great day. I mean, look, but he needs more help too.
I cannot figure him out yet. I watched all his high school games. You know, he threw the ball every down. You know, Medina. Yep. Of course, it's nothing like the college game like they were running at Medina. I can't figure out whether he sees it, doesn't see it. He had no business throwing that thing deep. Just he threw it up for the pick.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I think I described it on the play as he throws it very high down, deep down. I could see the two guys were there. Like going, there was three guys there, one Penn State player and whatever. Like going, uh-oh. Okay, and your third point is?
Okay, third and real quick is these bowl games. Why James is in a tough spot. He promised these kids, he recruits them, the high-end guys, come to Penn State. You know, once they're out of it or once they commit to go to the portal, not to portal, but to the NFL draft,
yeah,
he's got to keep his word and only play them like Saquon, a few plays. Olu didn't play like that. But why is me as a fan, why should I shell out money to fly to Atlanta rent a motel room to see that product on the field?
Yeah. First of all, there's a couple of parts to that, right? I can't answer the last part. You can answer that yourself. But why not say tell everybody ahead of time what's going on? Okay? I think that's essentially your question, right?
He can't tell everybody because it was gamesmanship, kind of with Lane Kiffin.
It's a little more than that. I think that's an easy. That is a part of it, yes. But we're also in an era where the player has a lot of power in what's going on, and he allows the players to say what they're going to do and how they want to say it. Because he doesn't want to come out in a press conference and say, oh, by the way, Olu's not going to play in the game, whatever. And Olu's like, hey, wait a minute, I wanted to say what was going on. In other words, okay. And part of that's the recruiting part, right? Well, hey, if you play for James Franklin, you know, he encourages you to play in the bowl game, but he gives you latitude. He also allows you to be the one to tell everybody what's going on. He's not going to supersede you. You know what I mean? There's more to it than just gamesmanship. You know what I mean? There's also that way of in recruiting of garnering respect as to how you handle situations, which are in, quote, the player's favor.
Right. He's got to keep his word to the player and the parents, or else he's not, I mean, that's the bottom line. He had to keep his word. He's in a tight spot.
Right. Yeah, and in terms of how they want to announce, it's like with an injury. If a player wants to come out and say, hey, look, I'm out for the rest of the year, they can do it. Right? They can do it. But say, for example, he announces a player is hurt and out for the year. He actually has to go to them first and say, hey, look, I'm going to say you're out for the year. And they say, no, don't do that. He can't do it.
Right.
I mean, it's like there's more to it than I think everyone thinks that a lot of this is simple and straightforward. And you feel like it should be, but it's not. And it's a very complicated that deals with maybe some gamesmanship, as you pointed out, and I think that's correct. But also at the same time, how you're treating the players, giving them the latitude to announce what their future happens to be, not superseding them, right? Their opportunities to ask people along the way, you know, are you going to play in the game? What's your future? I mean, they did have, I don't think Olu had a media availability down there. I don't think he did. Because he had his media availability here in State College. And he got asked essentially, I think, the same question in different ways. And I think because of that, they decided not to do anything with him down there. I don't know. Because I wasn't there, because I didn't go to any of the media availabilities. I went to practice, so I didn't go to the media availabilities. But, see, he tries to let them tell everybody what they're doing. In other words, Johnny Dixon never said what he was doing. You notice how Johnny Dixon never said what he was doing. There was never any statement from Johnny, Instagram post, Twitter, whatever. Nothing. And finally, James was asked about it. He says he's not here.
Right.
Right? I mean, so sometimes you get somebody like Chop who puts it out there, hey, thanks so much, love you guys, you're the greatest. I've decided to forego the Peach Bowl and prepare for the NFL draft. Johnny never put that out.
I'm not naive. The players don't owe me anything. I mean, they don't know who I am. They don't owe us anything. I'm a longtime fan, you know, support the team and stuff like that. But in reality, they don't owe us anything. But in return, I don't have to go support that on Saturday.
Okay. Do they owe you anything? Well, look, if you're buying tickets, if you're buying tickets, then there is something to it, because you're paying your hard-earned money to be there. You're paying for parking. You're paying for airline tickets. You're paying for, you're setting forward a lot of money out of your own pocket. Do they owe you something? It's not a question of owing you something, but at the same time, you're paying for a product, right? And they're part of the product.
Yeah. Joe yelled at me one night. He said, I want your money, but I don't want your 2 cents.
So. Yeah.
I was getting on him or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't get shot, so.
That was bizarre. That was bizarre. I mean, I'm sitting up on the 25th floor. So, I mean, I'm not remotely in harm's way, right? And I thought that's like fireworks on December 30th. What's going on? I thought maybe they were doing like some event at the Ferris wheel. I'm not kidding. So I thought I'd just glance out my window. I glance out my window and go, yo!
Well, up here it's no big deal. We always shoot off the back porch anyway at things, so groundhogs, whatever.
Okay. Jeez. Wow.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later, Steve.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us. And, interesting points brought up. You know, Doug's last part about do they owe the fans everything, anything. Well, you know what? Let's start with this. Okay. If you're in a collective and you're getting money from a collective, where's the collective coming from? Where? I mean, who's supplying the money for the collective? Fans. If you're getting a scholarship, now I realize that they never see this money because it's an electronic transfer. I've got that. But where's the athletic department get the money for the scholarship? Fans. Ticket sales, merchandise, whatever, right? Parking. Where do they get the money for meals at training table? Well, the athletic department has to pay for it. Where's the athletic department get the money from? TV? Fans. Yeah. Books. Okay. The rooms. TV money? Fans. Ticket sales, whatever it may be. Collectives. For their own personal needs, whatever. I mean, where's the money come from? It doesn't just materialize. It happens. And, well, this is very interesting. They know the fans anything? Hey, look, you know what? There's the triangle. Talk about the triangle all the time. I always love when there's a collective bargaining situation. And you'll hear the head of the, not the players, but you'll hear the head of the Players Association say, hey, no players, no game. Hey, sport, you're correct. All right? No players, no game. Oh, by the way, no owners, no game. You have to have somebody that has the money to back it up. And guess what? No fans, no game. Oh, isn't that interesting? Okay. All right. On3 Sports is reporting that Southern Columbia's own, Catawissa's own, Julian Fleming, Penn State.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, TV ratings out for the semifinals. We'll get to that in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great warranties. What a start at the new year with a brand new car. Wow. Nice. Love that new car smell, too, don't you? But maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. You want to go to a place that has the Sunbury Motors guarantee because they go over every vehicle. Eases the buying experience. And a great service department. Routine, difficult, great pros there. They handle it all. And by the way, if you're looking for a new job, they have openings because they're busy. It's called Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Whenever you... There's going to be the simplicity of TV ratings when it comes to, oh, great matchups. That's what everybody... They wanted to see Alabama... they want to see Alabama... They want to see Michigan, Texas, right? Okay, yeah, the brands were there. But do not for a second discount that the games were on New Year's Day. Do not discount for a moment that Alabama and Michigan were playing in the Rose Bowl with that iconic setting. I think in the open of last year's game, I said it's a setting that Hollywood cannot duplicate. Okay? I mean, it's unbelievable to sit there and you look at the San Gabriels and you look at the field and it's like, you just, okay? You take the matchup, the importance of the game, but you then put it on New Year's Day where it traditionally would be in that setting. It's the combination that you need. And Kirk Herbstreit's right. The Rose Bowl, and I agree with Kirk, and I've said this before, it should be the championship game. And so here are the numbers. The Rose Bowl. Now, this is on cable. They do not carry the games on ABC. And, like, why don't they carry it on ABC? Because, again, they're trying to make sure that they keep and bolster, okay, the cable part of it, really important. 27.2 million viewers. That is the highest among all the semifinal matchups since the beginning of the college football playoff. Because you had Michigan, brand, Alabama, brand, New Year's Day, brand, Rose Bowl, brand, all combined into one, that's what you get. Instead of throwing it on New Year's Eve or some nondescript Saturday game or whatever, you need to keep this stuff on New Year's. Hey, that's why I think the quarterfinals are all on New Year's or New Year's weekend. That's how you do it. It's tradition. Hey, don't overthink it. My goodness, don't overthink. 27.2 million viewers. That's the highest of any semifinal game ever. And by the way, the Sugar Bowl followed that right up, and they got 18.4 million. Fourth highest audience at the Sugar Bowl in 20 years. So 27.2 million viewers, which, by the way, peaked at 32.8 million. Top 10 cable telecast of all time. Best non-NFL sporting event since 2018. Okay. Sugar Bowl, fourth most watched Sugar Bowl since 2004. Third best non-NFL sporting event. And it peaked at 24.5 million viewers. Okay. That's what happened. Remember I talked about in the NCAA tournament? Penn State, Texas. Where brands mean not everything, but they mean so much. Now, Texas is a football brand. Penn State's a football brand. The NCAA tournament's a basketball brand. But you put Texas basketball, Penn State basketball, front of the jersey for each, and the NCAA tournament on a Saturday night. They got 6.6 million viewers. 6.6 million. Brand, brand, and brand all combined. For 6.6 million. Here, brand Michigan, brand Alabama, brand college football playoff semifinal, brand the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. Because that's what this is, okay? Don't try to create new stuff when old stuff works. My goodness, it doesn't take a genius to do this. It doesn't. It just doesn't. That's why at least next year they'll go with the... I like how they're going to do it. December 20th, the one game on Friday night, the three other games on Saturday, December 21st. And then after that, it's the quarterfinals, which will be around New Year's. Good. Do that. No problem with that. And Kirk, I'm totally agreeing with Kirk Herbstreit. And I said this before. Okay, I've said it before. But I think it should be the championship game. All right.
Do you think the Rose Bowl people would be willing to move off New Year's Day to be the all-time host of the championship game?
Yes, because they next year they're a quarterfinal game. Their quarterfinal game next year. They were basically told, Todd, by the College Football Playoff Committee, okay, get it done or get off the pot. They told them essentially they're going to drop them.
Going back to what you were talking about before, you know, you have to be able to get away from the table. I wonder what would have happened if the Rose Bowl would have called their bluff. I think that might have been a bit of a controversy.
Out.
Yeah.
No, they would have been out. That's what they did. They looked at him and said, "You're either in or out." Right? And the Rose Bowl buckled because they knew the college football playoff was serious. I mean, because the college football playoff would have looked at them and said, "You know what? Fine. We can go to Orlando. They want us. We got people who want us. Okay? These are the rules. This is how we're going to do it moving forward. You're in or out." And in the end, the Rose Bowl looked over and said, "Yep, okay, I got you. We're in." They didn't want to lose their spot. I mean, the college football playoff people played it right. They just finally got to the point like, okay, here's the line in the sand, in or out. We're not going to acquiesce to what you're doing. Right. And so while it's a great combination of the Rose Parade, which I've gone to, I remember the last time Penn State was there. Actually, the last two times Penn State was there? Last two times Penn State was there. Somebody had said to me, "Go to the Rose Parade." I said, "Nah, I've done that." it's something you absolutely, if you have a chance to go to it, you should absolutely go to. But once I've gone to it, do I need to keep going back to it? No. The game, I can go back to who in a heartbeat, because that's me. To each his own. If you want to go to the Rose Parade every year, I'm like, hey, have a great time. Like me personally, I went to it once, and I thought it was tremendous. Okay. And check. I got that one done. So, not really sure how much I can talk about this in the position I'm in. I know because these are always like still recruiting things. But if everybody notices, I have not said much about Julian Fleming over the years. When I have, I've always talked about him and with praise, because of course I know he's from the area, and there's a reason for that. He's first of all, he's one of us. He's from the area, and number two, you know, there have been people who have been, because he didn't go here initially, people are like, it's like, this guy's just, let the young person live their dream, okay? And now, you know, the door's been open. He has played really well at Ohio State. Really well. It is not his fault that the program had Chris Olave, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean even Emeka Ibuka. I mean, that's been a very crowded room. Terrific hands, excellent route runner. And I'll tell you right now, and right can make the tough. He'll make a tough catch for his quarterback. And you know what else he does? Watch after the Curtis Jacobs play. Was that after the Jacobs play? I think it was after Penn State got went for it on fourth down, didn't get it, and Ohio State had a short field. They threw that cross over the middle to Marvin Harrison Jr. Who's the guy making the block at the 10-yard line, driving his guy into the end zone? Julian Fleming will block. He's a football player. He is an excellent wide receiver, great hands, and a football player.
You don't play in the wing T at wide. You don't play in the wing T at wide receiver, right, without learning how to block.
That's right, exactly, and it shows. And it's something like that. Watch that play in particular. I mean, everything. Harrison, Harrison, Harrison. I'm watching the play and I'm looking at Jack. I go, boy, did Fleming throw a block. Like, wow. And we mentioned it on the broadcast, the great block he threw on that play. Again, it's one of those, like, I'm in that, like, that gray area. You know what I mean, Todd?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay. And the gray area is, you know, what I can and can't say. Because I've tried to treat the transfer portal like recruiting. So in other words, you notice how I can't talk about recruits until they actually sign. So all the 25 guys that Dick talked about in the first half hour when Dick called in, or second half hour when Dick called in, he talked about the 25. I couldn't mention a single name of the 25 until they actually sign on December 20th because of the NCAA rules.
I'm not sure I realized you were bound by those rules until I started doing the show.
Yeah, well, here's the reason why, because I'm paid by the university. Right? And that's the reason why. So I've always tried to ask over the years. I'll give you an example about it's always so gray with some of this stuff. Years ago, they were doing, it wasn't the Big 33 game, but they decided to do an East-West game in June. And I think they played it in Altoona or whatever, right?
Yeah, they still do it, but everything's run together with the Big 33 game now.
Right, okay. And they asked Jack Ham and I to do it. And I said, geez. I mean, I talked to Jack. Jack says, well, if you do it, I'll do it. I said, well, okay. I said, let me check and see if we're allowed to do it. Now, again, these are all players that have graduated from high school. So I called compliance, and I asked, are we allowed to do this game since we're Penn State's broadcasters? And they got back to me, and they said, you know what? We looked into it, and they said, until they actually arrive on campus, you guys can't really talk about the players. I said, but they've all signed someplace else. They said, yeah, we know, but this is kind of a gray area, the whole thing. So Jack and I had to tell them no. Okay. Okay. So then I was asked by Mifflinburg High School to be the speaker at their banquet. And this is years ago. I remember driving over in a snowstorm, Todd. But the people were so nice there. But I again had to call. Now, I thought the answer to the All-Star game was going to be yes. And it turned out the answer was no. When I called about being the speaker at the high school banquet, I assumed the answer was going to be
no.
Right. No. So I call. I said, well, let me check and see if I'm allowed to do it. Because everybody is like, you know, even though, with all due respect, nobody was recruiting anybody from Mifflinburg at the time. Okay. You're still a recruitable player. Correct? So I called over to compliance and I said, they asked me to do this. This is going to be on this day, the whole thing, right? And they said, yes, you're allowed to do it. I said, really? They said, yeah, as long as you don't get up there and do a sales pitch for Penn State, you can do it. I said, wow. So that's my point when it comes to rules. You can't guess on any of this. So I guessed wrong on whether we could do the All-Star game. I guessed wrong on whether I could be the speaker. I was allowed to be the speaker, but Jack and I weren't allowed to do the All-Star game. I'm like, okay. So you're trying to at least follow, because the last thing you want to do is to get anybody in trouble with what's going on. Well, the same thing in recruiting. In recruiting, I'm not allowed to talk about anybody who is... Now, the portal... See, that's a gray area, the portal. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Because it's recruiting, but it's not recruiting.
Yeah, it's recruiting, but these are already established players. I mean, you know, so that's why when I talked about Julian, I talked about him in generalities, right? I talked about my experience of watching him play on this level. Oh, boy. So I always have to make sure that I'm, like, staying within the guidelines. How about that? Especially when you're not sure. But, I mean, I did cite whomever put out the report, right? And I know Will Backus now from CBS Sports has put it out and so forth. Okay. Yeah. In other news, our plane to Michigan State's been delayed. So I come back from I went commercial to Atlanta because the team went down the 23rd. I'm not going to get down the 23rd, okay? But I mean, I left on the 26th, all right? And then I got back Sunday, early Sunday afternoon, you know, because my flight landed at, I had to go through Nashville and then up through, plane landed at like 10 after 10. And it turned out I'm walking through the airport to go, and I had to catch a bus to long-term parking. Well, I can tell you right now, right, I literally walking to ground transportation, long-term parking bus was sitting right there, just walked straight out, couldn't have been any faster. Get out there. So I got home early in the afternoon. You know what time the charter got back? Like, not the team charter. The team charter came back on time, but the one that brought back the travel party didn't get back because of delays. They were supposed to leave after the game, like 2 hours after the game. They didn't get back till 11:30 on Sunday night.
Oh.
mean, my goodness. I mean, I was back 12 hours before them, and I went commercial. Yikes. Roger and Bob were on that one. Roger Corey and Bob Taylor. So
that's a long day.
That is a it's a long 2 days.
It's
remember,
a long 2 days, yeah.
Penn State did a great job of getting them hotels at the airport. Right? Flight delayed. We'll know more in 15 to 30. Stay home for now.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, I think I will. I'm not going to go anywhere. We'll take a break, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 10.
Food, cleaning supplies, health and beauty items that go along with your everyday groceries. The cashier will be sure to do the checkout for you and bag your groceries when you're done. The winter weather is upon us, and Surplus Outlet has you covered with rock salt and windshield washer fluid to help fight the inclement weather. Surplus Outlet has a great selection of national brand coffees, teas, hot chocolate, and soups to keep you warm. The prices are always hot at Surplus Outlet, so stop in today to help beat the winter weather.
Surplus Outlet has two great locations, Route 11 Northumberland and Route 15 Montgomery. Surplus Outlet is open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. and closed on Sundays. Be sure to follow and like Surplus Outlet on Facebook at Surplus Outlet Grocery Stores for special deal notifications. Do it today.
You check your phone, thermostat, and the weather often, but the most important check of all should be yourself. A yearly visit with a healthcare provider is key to catching preventable illnesses early. When your healthcare provider sees you on a regular basis, it allows them to know your lifestyle and any potential risk factors too. Make the most important check of all, you. Find a healthcare provider and get information on updated vaccines at checkyourselfcentralpa.com.
This is Dr. Dunnigan from Shamokin Dam Health Center. If you suffer from muscle strain, chronic pain, or any other type of injury, we can help. We provide rehabilitation, interventional pain management, massage therapy, and chiropractic in our opioid-free multi-specialty center. We welcome new patients as we are dedicated to helping you become free of the limitations of pain, restoring pain-free function to your life. Call for your appointment, 570-743-4333. That's 570-743-4333.
By the way, Todd, at Ohio State, in the 3 years that he played, you know how many drops he had in 3 years?
Two.
Six total. Six total in 3 years. Dependable.
I watched him play for 4 years in high school. You don't have to get me in the Julian Fleming fan club.
All right. Tomorrow's show is in East Lansing. Todd, you always wanted to do a show where you participated from East Lansing. I know.
As long as Michigan State's playing basketball, I wouldn't mind being in East Lansing. I don't know about watching them play football.
The best job in the world, man. I get to go to football, basketball games, and they let me talk, and they give you money. It doesn't get really any better in the workforce than that.